sporting views on and off the field on Clare FM's Sideline View in association with DNG O'Sullivan Hurley.
Good evening and welcome along to Clare FM's Sideline View. It's Derry Clinch with you until 7 o'clock this evening. Coming up on the show, we'll preview Clare's All-Ireland hurling qualifier with Cork. More of that shortly. We'll also look ahead to must-win games for the Clare Camogie and ladies football sides, along with the 2020 Clare Junior A football final. We'll also have our usual Greyhound focus slot, and we'll hear from the Clare Castleman hoping for glory at next week's Galway Racing Festival. There is only the one place we can start this evening though, and that is with tomorrow's huge All-Ireland qualifier showdown between Clare and Cork at the LIT Gaelic Grounds. The Banners win over Wexford last week puts them back within touching distance of the quarterfinals for the second year in a row under Brian Lohan, but a huge test awaits against a Rebel side who will be fresh, having not played since their Munster semi-final loss to Limerick. First up, we'll get the thoughts of Clare captain John Conlon. He spoke with me on the field in Thurles after that win over Wexford.
You were playing the last few games. You knew you're the second chance, but today was a last chance saloon. And look, we only said and trained Thursday night. You know, we've been enjoying this year so much as a group, and I haven't really felt that as a group since 2018. So, you know, we said, you know, this is where we need to sink or swim now, and there's no point putting all that serious work on and not going for it. And you know, I think we came out of the blocks flying through it, and everything that we talked about during the week, you know, like between Brian and the players, we and the management, we take a lot of ownership ourselves as players, and how we can go against the opposition, and we give Brian pointers and he gives us pointers, and we kind of go what we think then is right, and you know, that's the way it has worked throughout the year. And I think everything we worked on throughout the week, you know, boded well for the first 20 minutes anyway. I think we died out of steam a bit for leading up to half time, but they were always going to have their purple patch. So we're just delighted with the win and to come out on the right side.
That mental toughness, as much as anything, we can feel it quite warm down here. I mean, and when Wexford came back into the game, he had to withstand that. So mentally, what a physical a battle to go undertaking there.
Yeah, I know myself. Look, I was probably out on my feet with 5 minutes to go. And Brian made the changes, and he made the changes all at the right time, I think, this week. And everyone that came in, we've been saying the last two games, you know, that maybe we weren't getting the same reaction out of the subs that we were maybe against Kilkenny in the league, and they came on today and all contributed. Gary got a goal, Mark Rogers got a point or two, and the lads in the backs that came in, Aaron and David, have been flying and training, and you know, it all bodes well going forward for next week.
Just finally, you touched on it there, that sense of togetherness is in the group, like a manager that'll allow you to give him ideas and take them on board as well. I mean, that's creating a lovely atmosphere. We can see it here behind us.
Yeah, look, Brian is super. Like, he'd do anything for Clare Hurling. Man of little, you know, not too many words, but in fairness to him, when he talks in the dressing room, you listen, and you can feel that passion that was there in 95 and 97 and that team. And like, he just says, you know, if we ask for anything, he'll jump in the car, he'll get onto someone and get it for us. And we never have to ask for anything. That's a great thing from a manager and management. And it's great that they're willing to listen to us and see what, you know, experience that we have, to the older lads in the panel. And you know, it's all about, you know, everyone just putting the shoulder to the wheel and getting in behind it. And hopefully now we'll have a big crowd again next week, here hopefully or wherever, and we drive on and you know, hopefully go through the qualifiers and get to a quarterfinal.
Clare captain John Conlon there after last week's win over Wexford. I've also been speaking to 2013 All-Ireland winner Brendan Bugler. He feels Clare will be coming into the game with plenty confidence after last week's win.
There was huge positives to take from it. Like, you look at the first 17 minutes and I thought they were absolutely terrific. You know, they hunted in packs. Their work rate, the intensity they got was phenomenal. And then, you know, their scoring efficiency was tremendous as well. Like, but, you know, to put up the score that they did in the first 17 minutes was absolutely heroic. And then, you know, Wexford came back into the game as expected and, you know, put up a real challenge and showed huge character. And they had it back to 115 to 113. But what really impressed me from a Clare point of view was the next couple of scores they got after that. You know, it was really, you know, in the melting pot at that stage, back to 115 to 113. But how Clare responded and how Clare finished the game was hugely encouraging from a Clare point of view.
Yeah, from a leadership perspective as well, like from 1 to 15, you could say that every single one of them took on that mantle at the weekend.
Yeah, I suppose, look, they had to, you know, you're in the heart of championship, you lose and you're gone, you know, so that's what you expect, I suppose, when your players and they put on the county jersey that day, that they give it absolutely everything, because there's no second chance now at this stage. And, you know, from 1 to 15 and the substitutes that come on, look, Mac Rogers was tremendous. Gary Cooney got that goal, and it was great to see Jack Brown, David McInerney and Aaron Fitz introduced as well. So the way it is at the moment, Derek, it's a 20-man game, and each 10 men, you know, they stood up the weekend, and you know, they're in a good position heading into the Cork game of the weekend.
Yeah, just on that, being in a good position, you can't help but think that this is a team now that's building a run. And you mentioned all those subs there, like those 22 or 3 fellas now in contention for 15 places. And what great position to be in now ahead of this Cork tie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and there's no crimes or crams, you know, missing Shane O'Donnell or you know, this player or that player that might be missing. It's just next man up, and that's the way it is. And if you're given the opportunity, you have to take your chance. And you know, in fairness, like Mark Rogers, he's had to put up his hand there. You know, Gary did his thing when he came in, and you know, you'd expect David McInerney to play a huge role the weekend also. So yeah, look, it's given Brian Lowe the choices ahead of the game.
From a player's perspective, I'm interested to see what you would have thought of this from your time, that this is a Cork team that haven't played since being beaten by Limerick. They've been sitting idle now for a couple of weeks, while Clare have had a couple of very, very tough games under their belt. Do you prefer to be someone that was coming in having been rested, or someone that was coming in having been tested?
I think I'd prefer having been tested. And you know, there's nothing like momentum, and you know, Clare have been steadily building momentum all year, from the Dublin game, the league, you know, and then the Kilkenny game, which was a huge performance, brilliant performance against Waterford, and you know, until that incident with James Owens against Tipperary, we put in a fantastic performance, and we got another performance against Wexford. So I think momentum is huge in hurling, and at the moment, you know, Clare have massive momentum. You know, from a Cork's perspective, they played okay against Limerick. Now, Limerick didn't set the world alight either, but, you know, from a player's point of view, I prefer coming in, you know, having a good few games under my belt and having a good bit of momentum. And I suppose the main thing from the weekend, from last weekend, looking ahead to next weekend, was that, you know, we came through the game with no injuries. And that's a huge positive. So it doesn't take long for lads, you know, to recover with the level of, you know, conditioning they're in at the moment anyway. So by Tuesday, they should be back fine and preparing for the game the next weekend.
The thoughts there of Brendan Bugler ahead of tomorrow's game, which you can hear live here, of course, on Clare FM. So joining me to look ahead to the game now are Clare FM analyst Tommy Guilfoyle and Fitzgibbon Cup winning manager and Corkman Jamie Wall. Lads, thanks for taking the call. Jamie, if I can start with yourself, what's the feeling on Lee's side ahead of this one?
Hi, Derek. The feeling is fairly good. Not so much, we'll say, specifically about this match, but obviously Cork Curling is in a fairly good place at the moment. People are feeling the buzz, we'll say, and feeling the vibe. They're after winning the All-Ireland, obviously, about 13 days ago, and winning then again against Tip with the comeback in the 20s the other night. I think it's that they're hoping that the case of a rising tide will lift all boats. So people are fairly happy and, as usual, confident going into the weekend.
Yeah, and paradoxically then in Clare, it's probably the opposite. Our seniors are going well and we're kind of lamenting every other level. So we're hoping there's a switch around there. Is it any concern, Jamie, that there's only been the one game for the Cork in the Championship and that came quite a while ago? Is there questions left to be answered, do you think, on Saturday?
There probably are. I suppose they played the best team in the country. I think we can all agree on that. And they were, I think, 8 points was a fair reflection of the gap between the two of us and that's even being generous to Cork at the moment. I think Limerick are possibly better still than us. And that was disappointing, especially after the start we had against them. But I suppose there is going to be a concern about the distance between that game and now. But I suppose, you know yourself, narrative is a funny thing. It'll be written after that if Cork go and win, that the break did Cork the world of good and Clare were shafted by having to play games. And equally then, if Clare go win, people will say that Clare were sharp and Cork were rusty. So it's always dangerous to try and be too definitive about these things before a game.
Would you be of a similar mindset, Tommy Guilfoyle?
Yeah, I agree with Jamie to a certain point. You know, I suppose up to the first water break tomorrow, you know, you'll probably have a fair idea where Clare are. If they come out, hit the ground running, and, you know, you'll say, you know, they're fresh enough and momentum will carry them. If Cork hit the ground running and Clare struggle and Cork get a lead, I think Clare could struggle chasing that lead. Now, you know, I agree with Jamie. You know, all the Cork teams are doing well, and that in itself is great. I just question, I suppose, maybe the Cork style of play has changed, and I suppose looking in probably as a forward, you know, where Cork are trying to run the ball from the back, I don't actually think it may suit the Cork inside line where the ball is held up, maybe, you know, longer than it should be, particularly when you have, you know, the calibre of players that they could have in there, Horgan, Harnady, Cadigan, Barrett and all them. I think a quick ball, longer ball would suit. So if Cork persists with that kind of a running game, I think, you know, Clare will be well equipped to match them in the middle of the field and hopefully, you know, put a stop to them and turn them over. But, you know, I would be worried if Cork changed slightly or maybe mix it up more and go direct to that inside line, because the day against Limerick, I was in Thurles, and I just thought that the quality of the ball and the speed of the ball going in actually suited Limerick, whereas with the players at Cork's disposal, a quicker, more direct ball would have suited. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. They'll probably, you know, learn from the last day and may mix it up.
Jamie, from a Cork perspective defensively, we've seen the likes of Caelum Lyons, we've seen the likes of Cathal Barrett, and, you know, the last day as well, in fairness, Rec did an okay job on Tony Kelly. Do you see a man marker being sacrificed for that particular role this weekend?
I certainly hope so. I think if we don't have somebody lined up to man mark Tony Kelly, it'll be a short day's work for Clare, because on form he's probably even the best player in the country. That being said, somebody finally did do a bit of a job on him last weekend, and it actually freed things up for the rest of the Clare forward line, and I think that was probably the most impressive thing for Clare, and the most worrying thing for the rest of us and for everyone else is that there's a bit more of a supporting cast there now, and I think central to that is probably a different man, is Shanahar, because what he gives Clare is a real... a kind of an out ball, and it also stretches the play, and it kind of means that Clare can go long, but equally by having that option to go long, they can then run the ball as well, because you obviously naturally enough, like, you drop off and you make sure that you don't leave your full back too exposed with a guy like that inside. So I think while the Tony Kelly matchup is obviously important, that's probably the first job everyone who's playing Clare looks at. I think it'd be foolish to look beyond a couple of other players as well that we are going to take a very specific sort of minding. And if they're not given that kind of minding, we could be in a lot of trouble.
Is there any fear, Jamie, that the other end of the field, if Clare are disciplined and don't give away the frees, that outside of Horgan's accuracy from that place ball, is there enough firepower in that Cork forward line, do you think, to get the score that's needed?
I think there probably is, as long as we get the right ball into them. And I think, like Tommy said, I think a variation is probably the key to that. Like, I personally wouldn't be far turning it into Hail Mary stuff either, because I think with the way Clare are playing at the moment, like, John Conlon is very, very deep in the pocket, which against Waterford, you know, Waterford played into their hands by playing it a bit blind down that into that pocket, and it made John look very, very good. Whereas when Tipperary played the game a little bit shorter and a bit smarter into players in pockets of space outside of him, it caused a lot of trouble. And I think the Clare half-back line between Conlon and Paddy Fitz were both in a little bit of trouble at the weekend as well. I think the key for Cork is probably going to be varying the ball in and finding the right guys in the right positions. Like, you know, if Cork can get somebody loose at 11, I think that presents a huge opportunity. I think part of the key to that is having somebody good inside, so that maybe John or whoever is centre back. I mean, look, it could be Davy McInerney. I would be shocked if Clare go without Davy McInerney at the weekend, given that, look, in my opinion, he's the best defender Clare have. But like, if Cork can put someone inside, that is going to take minding and also kind of be inside the consciousness of the centre back in front of him. That could free something up around, kind of, you know, the pockets of space that, for example, Jason Ford did a lot of damage against Limerick in, and John O'Dwyer did a lot of damage against Clare in the last day. So I think it's much about how Cork set up their forward line as much as anything else, and then varying that play, you know, in terms of trying to make centre back make decisions that they don't like to do, because, look, any centre back loves the day that they can sit in the pocket and the ball is coming the same way all day. But when you can go short and long, it presents a different kind of proposition.
And Tommy, in terms of the type of game or the style of game that Clare are going to face, we've touched a bit on it there, but is it going to be more about hurling, is it going to be less physical maybe than some of the games? Like, the argument has also been made that when Clare and Cork meet, it's a hurling game. The physicality doesn't come into it as much maybe as it would against maybe a Tipperary or a Wexford.
Yeah, it is, I think. But I think any team, you know, nowadays, I mean, you have to have a certain level of aggression and physicality and intensity, particularly in championship matches. And I suppose, you know, Donal O'Grady being involved in the background there, you know, would always insist on the basics being done well and, you know, the hooks, the blocks and the tackles. And I think that's what, you know, that's what Cork are trying to improve. We all know Cork have, you know, the hurlers and the flair hurlers. It's the Cork hurlers that, you know, that are in for the battle or up for the battle. You know, and again, but I do think it depends on which way Cork set up. I believe maybe Shane Kingston might go to centre forward. So, as Jamie said, you know, it is going to ask questions. Does John Conlon sit, or does the like of Colm Galvin have to take up a Shane Shane Kingston at centre forward? So, but I think that communication is there, and early on in the league it wasn't there. So I think, you know, Clare will be aware of what Cork have. You know, Robbie O'Flynn is a player, you know, that really, really impresses me every time I see him. You know, loads of pace. You know, he's only one way of going, and that's taking on the Clare defence. And that in itself, you know, will turn that Clare half back line and put pressure on the full back line. So, you know, I think Lohan will be looking for, you know, that middle ace to really, really, you know, get onto the breaks, disrupt Cork's play. And again, you know, we're talking about who's going to pick up Tony Kelly. You know, Mark Coleman is probably one of the most skillful hurlers, albeit he's a defender. So I think, you know, he'll have a major influence if he's allowed to. So, you know, Clare are going to have to put, you know, to curb him, because, you know, if we allow him to play, I think we allow Cork to play. So, you know, it is intriguing. I think Donal Logue said last week it's not all about maybe the matchups, but how the systems work out, and it's the sum of maybe four or five players, or maybe six or seven in the middle eight, will dictate and who gets on top there.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolutely cracking match in store, no doubt about that. Lads, thanks for talking about that. Tommy, if I can, just before we let you go, I know there's been quite a lot of disquiet. We've been getting messages here all day in relation to the distribution of the tickets. It went from 500 to 3,500, and then suddenly a link was sent out. While it seems half the country were training themselves, and suddenly tickets were gone, didn't go through the clubs. A lot of disquiet about it, and probably understandably so.
Yeah. Derek, look, I mean, I just couldn't believe it when it came out. I thought, you know, at this stage, you know, we would have, you know, the GAA in conjunction, if they are to use the likes of Ticketmaster, you know, it would go through the clubs, and the clubs could, you know, book their allocation and that. But, you know, very, very disappointing, because I think, you know, we all know, and I suppose we have been lucky, you know, that we can get to the games, but the amount of people, you know, the smile on their face and the anticipation of even going to the match Thursday and Friday of last week, you know, and again, I met those same people at work this morning. They're going around glum, you know, with big sad faces on them, you know, and they feel hard done by. And I think the GAA, you know, have to come out and take responsibility, put their hand up. But I think they have to, you know, agree a system going forward, because yes, we all accept there's restricted crowds, but, you know, I mean, there needs to be a fair system to the club players. And I think the GAA in some ways can be hypocritical, where, you know, the grassroots, i.e. the club, you know, and in this instance, I think, you know, they've been badly wronged. It has caused lots of hurt and anger, you know, within the clubs. And again, you know, and again, look, I give lots of criticism maybe to county boards, but I think in fairness to the Clare County Board on this one, it was out of their hands. So I think maybe, you know, Croke Park, who run the qualifiers, you know, have to put their hand up, have to come out and say, you know, tell it as it is, because there is no doubt that, I mean, it has caused hurt and anger. And, you know, we're in the business of trying to get people to go to our games. You know, parents are looking forward to bringing their children during the week. How do you tell a 6 or 7 or 8 year old, we missed the tickets, we didn't know they were out, or whatever, like, you know? And it's a stain on the GAA, you know, and I think they need to come out and own up to it. But, you know, let's hope, you know, that there's an equal amount from Clare and Cork tomorrow, and, you know, that the people that are there, you know, enjoy the game. And if they can't enjoy the game, you know, I suppose, I don't know, I've been told at work that I'm on the radio more than the Angelus is on the radio. Tune in to Clare FM, and we'll try and do our best to keep people up to date and paint the picture of what's happening in the Gaelic Rounds tomorrow.
Absolutely, and hopefully it ends as dramatically and as positively as it does. And we got the mental image of Tommy dropping to his knees after that Gary Cooney goal. So hopefully we're doing something similar tomorrow in around 5:30, 6 o'clock. Tommy and Jamie, thanks very much for that, and enjoy the game. Now we are back soon.
Oh, when I said a room with a view, I didn't mean overlooking Cusack Park.
Let DNG O'Sullivan Hurley and their award-winning team find your perfect view. Visit dngosullivanhurley.com. Proud sponsors of Clare FM's Sideline View.
He puts the key in the door and he's in! Yes! Another happy customer from DNG O'Sullivan Hurley. Proud sponsors of Clare FM's Sideline View.
Hi, welcome back to the show. We're turning to Camogie, where Clare face a must-win game against Galway tomorrow if they're to stay alive in this year's All-Ireland Series. Defeat against Kilkenny last week came after a battling performance, and Clare now hope to carry some of the positives from that showing to Kenny Park in Athenry. Ahead of that game, I've been speaking with Clare's Orla Duggan.
We knew from the beginning we had a tough group with Kilkenny and Galway in it, but I suppose we're looking at a win against Galway or else, you know, our season is over. So I suppose we're in this situation now and we just have to plow on and go with the right mentality in the Galway game and, you know, hopefully go with our game plan and be up for it and put in a good performance against Galway.
And looking at listening to Gerard after the game against Kilkenny, he kind of tried to mix, I suppose, the disappointment of the result against the positives from the performance. I suppose it's maybe trying to find that middle ground.
Yeah, like we were disappointed, Derek. You know, like we played really well. Like we would have felt that we were up there with them, probably even the better team for patches of the match. We had a lot of possession. We even had, you know, just more scoring chances than they did. You know, I think we had one or two more scoring chances in the game overall, but they obviously took more than we did. And like there was patches of really good things and, you know, our game plan coming through and things that we've been working on for the last few years now coming through. But it's just disappointing, I suppose, when we're not closing out the matches or, you know, being as clinical as other teams. So I think, you know, we'll bring that disappointment into the match, into our preparations for Galway, as well as the positives. Like, we know what we need to work on, and that's being more clinical up front and taking our opportunities. And if we keep up the same work rate and game plan as we did against Kilkenny, then, you know, like, we know that we can challenge Galway and hopefully see it through.
It's probably a strange one to say that the mistakes are kind of in your own hands, in that I know Ger referenced after just kind of fumbling balls and stuff like that. So it's not a case of, as you mentioned there, Kilkenny kind of outplaying you. The improvements that need to be there are kind of within your own hands now.
Yeah, absolutely. Like a lot of their scores, we actually came from our turnovers. You know, like they turned us over, we fumbled and made mistakes. And I suppose the positive thing of that is that's in our own control. And maybe it was a little bit of nerves. You know, like we were playing the league champions and one of the so-called better teams. But we felt, I suppose, we were prepared. But it is disappointing that then our own mistakes were what Kilkenny capitalised on. But again, there are things that are all in our control and, you know, we can work on them. Like, I suppose there won't be much training or fitness done in between this week and next, you know, but what we can work on is our own attitude and correcting those mistakes and going into the Kilkenny or the Galway match with the right mentality, you know, and preparing for that.
Absolutely. And I suppose just you touched on it there, finally, to talk about Galway. I mean, it was a very encouraging performance up there in that league game earlier on this year. So I'd imagine you'd be leaning on quite a lot of what you did that day to hopefully replicate it just for, you know, into that second half as well.
Absolutely. Like, we've actually met Galway an awful number of times over the last few years, so we are quite familiar with each other. And we will take confidence that we were with them there for 50 minutes in the league campaign. And it was just that closing out of the match that we dropped down on. But we have done work on that, you know, and trying to see games through from the beginning to the end. So I suppose we know what we need to do, and a lot of it is just ourselves sticking to our own game plan and, you know, working on things that might have tips for us against Kilkenny, like the turnovers and the dropping of balls and things like that. So I suppose just even focusing on ourselves, like we know what we need to do to see out the game, and it's just a matter of preparing mentally for that on Saturday and hopefully seeing out the game in a positive manner.
Now, that is the thoughts there of Clare's Orla Duggan ahead of their game against Galway tomorrow in the All-Ireland Championship. That one has a 4 o'clock start in Athenry. It's also must-win territory for the Clare Ladies footballers on Sunday when they go to Longford to take on Fermanagh in their final group game of that All-Ireland Intermediate Championship. Last week's loss to Leitrim means it's now winner-takes-all showdown, but Clare have been boosted with the news that the red card shown to Niamh O'Dea late in that game has been rescinded, meaning that she'll be available for selection. Former Clare player Anne-Marie Canlon has been looking ahead to this one.
Do or die, as they say, whoever wins it is going to go through and join Leitrim. Just looking at the Clare and Leitrim game last weekend, unfortunately Clare were defeated by 4 points. Leitrim kind of crowded it out in the second half and they were stopping Clare going forward, and they forced some turnovers and a few passes then went astray. But I've no doubt that Devon will have regrouped and they'll be ready for Fermanagh.
And I suppose it's ironic in a lot of ways that while you're disappointed with a defeat, in many respects, other than the topping the group element, it probably hasn't changed what Clare's objective would have been on Sunday anyway.
No, absolutely. Like they're always focused on game by game, and they're going to be looking at Fermanagh now, and they'll be looking at how they played against Leitrim and about their campaign so far. And like their goal is just to get to the qualifiers, you know. And like they still have a great chance. Things didn't go their way on a Sunday. On last Sunday, maybe that was because it might have been, you know, nerves in the first game out. But no doubt they'll have regrouped and they'll have worked on a training during the week on the little things like letting the ball in quick. And they played very defensive last week. They had 10 behind the ball at one stage. Like they're a young, fast team, so they should be letting the ball in quick. So hopefully they'll be doing that now against Fermanagh.
And I suppose they will be probably mindful of that defensive element though, because I mean 4 goals conceded is obviously a cause for concern.
Yeah, and as well, I think that because they had so many back behind the ball and they weren't going forward as much, then Leitrim got a few fast breaks and got the goals. I think a few kickouts were turned over as well, so they'll have to be alert for the short kickouts. Also, Clare will have to, and just have to go from there. Just looking a little bit on Fermanagh, they haven't scored too many goals in the last few games, kind of 2 goals and one goal, but they played the Division 3 league this year, and then they met Wicklow in the relegation playoff and that, and they lost that by a point. And then they played the Ulster Intermediate Final on the 26th of June and they were beaten in that by a goal, 2-7 to 2-10. As we said there, they played Leitrim in the first round 2 weeks ago and they lost by a point. So all their games have been very close. You know, they've only lost out by a margin, like between a goal and a couple of points. So just looking at that game now, the players that Clare will have to watch, they have Fermanagh have Joanna Doohan in as number 11 centre forward. Now, she has played AFL the last couple of years and every ball kind of goes through her. And also looking at their full forward, Emer Smith, she's very good on frees and she's really good at scoring as well, so Clare will have to watch her. Also Aoife Flanagan at centre field, she's a very tall, strong girl and she lifts the ball in, and she's really good at giving off passes as well. And just finally then the Fermanagh keeper, Shauna Murphy, she saved 2 penalties in that game, so she's a really top goalie as well.
It's plenty for the Clare management to think about, but I suppose from their own point of view then they'll be probably looking, I'd imagine, at their own leaders to drive this now this week, because there was such a build up to it, I suppose, in many respects, and now it's a case of they have to take responsibility on Sunday or it'll be back to the clubs.
Yeah, exactly, and I've no doubt that Clare will be very disappointed with last weekend, but they have really good leaders in the field, for like Elio Gorman, Caoimhe Harvey, Katrina Callan, Eva Dee, Chloe Maloney, just to name but a few. And like they're going to drive the younger girls on, you know, the girls that come into the panel this year, like Rebecca Doohan and so on, they're going to drive them on. Like they won't want to go out the championship next week. They've worked really hard during lockdown on their own, and they deserve to be there. Like they've played really competitive football in Division 2 this year against the likes of Kerry and, you know, so they're going to be, they won't want to finish next weekend. They'll have to give it everything for the 60 minutes. For Manor are going to be no walk over there. A good, strong team, and they'll be confident as well. So I've no doubt it's going to be a really good competitive game. And as it's a full time, if it's level, obviously it will go to extra time and penalties if required. But hopefully the Clare will do it in the 60 minutes.
Former Clare player Anne-Marie Canlon there looking ahead to Clare showdown with Fermanagh on Sunday afternoon. That one has a 2 o'clock start up in Pierce Park in Longford. Now tomorrow evening, closer to home, we'll see the final silverware of the 2020 Clare GA club season handed out as the Junior A Football Championship finally reaches its conclusion. This final, of course, you'll remember, was forced to be postponed at short notice last autumn due to COVID-19 restrictions, but now has the all clear to go ahead at 7:15 in Hennessy Memorial Park in Milltown, with the Banner and Ballyvaughan going head-to-head for the right to take the last remaining spot in the Intermediate Championship for 2021. Credit to Clare GA. All other championships, of course, last year were concluded. This one agonisingly close to getting finished before those restrictions tied everybody's hands. But good to see it now getting to its conclusion as soon as it could. Banner boss John Burke will be without star forward Shane Meehan. He's ruled out with a hand injury, but he says everyone is focused on just getting the chance to finally contest for the silverware.
Waiting and waiting, so like waiting for the bus that never came, and it's here now, so we're ready and waiting and ready to go, I suppose, as best we can now at this stage.
Yeah, I suppose like this last year when the game was fixed, you had the bit of momentum behind you, I'd say, preparations. It was only pulled, I think, with a week or that to go to it. So, like, how difficult was that at the time when you're all primed and ready to go?
Well, after turning over in a time in the last 15 minutes, literally the last 15 minutes of the game, and getting out the gap with the win, I would have said, yeah, we're sitting ready to go and bring it on. Of course, the dust has settled a long time now, and you lose that momentum, and maybe that bit of maybe the bit of belief that you have built up in a squad and camaraderie and things like, and it's probably gone to stage you had to start back at zero again, and now unfortunately starting back at zero with a drop in eight slides, like every other club, we're carrying a few injuries, and with the loss of Shane Meehan, and with the loss of Ian Malloy towards as well, like there's three or four that's gone now from that starting team, with cruciates and things, and they're not back in there. And like when you use up four players on a starting team, and you bring in your four subs who are capable of coming in, like, but you're still down four players, you know, from a small panel, like, you know. So it is like it's more difficult to start again than it is to continue, like.
It's a tough contender, but I suppose you do have a bit of silverware in the bag, though. The league run that you went on will probably help you a little bit, will it?
It will. Like, look at the young and they're fit. Still a bit green, I suppose. Still, I don't do. We're up against the Ballyvaughan team, who are very experienced, you know, and very balanced around the field. But look at, we're there. We're in the final. It's going to go down to the wire, I'd imagine, and we'll be there for the last kick of the ball, whether we come out on top or not. We'll be there on the last kick of the ball, you know.
And I suppose in an overall sense, John, for the Banner club that have been, you know, building both on and off the field in a physical and a number sense as well, to get a championship win, albeit last year's, would be a huge boost, wouldn't it?
Massive boost. I suppose I got involved in this squad just going into my fifth year now, maybe. I'm not sure which year it is, the COVID or that, but I think it's around the fifth. And yeah, we've built it nicely over the years, and we've come to this stage, like a junior A final. And yeah, we're looking forward to it, and it's very exciting for the players and for the club as well, you know, to be an absolute massive thing to move up another grade, up to an intermediate kind of a side of a thing. But I look at, that's a long way off. I know it's only a couple of days, but it's still a long way off, you know. There's still a lot of football to be played on the day before you'll be even getting any notions of that, you know.
Banner GA football manager John Burke there. It's been a similar waiting game for Ballyvaughan, and their manager and club chairman Pat Costello says it's been a strange period to manage for everyone involved.
There was no certainty, that was the big problem. And then we were told that we'd get 2 or 3 weeks notice, and that was even worse. If we got 6 weeks notice, you'd be preparing then in that 6 weeks. You'd have a date got and you'd get to nail it down. And the uncertainty was just something that was very, very hard to deal with for everyone, especially for amateurs, you know.
Absolutely. But now you have that certainty. And I know you've had a couple of league games and a couple of O'Gorman Cup games. So from that instance, you know, are you happy enough with the preparation that you've got, albeit I know it's not ideal?
Well, to be quite honest, last weekend we had to give a walk over there in the league game because we had just a lot of hamstring injuries. And I don't know if I'm going back too fast or not being prepared going back, or it's just something we've never had this before, this amount of hamstring injury. So hopefully they'll work out on the day, but we could have done with that last game last weekend with a full squad if we could have had him, but just that's the way it is now. There's nothing we can do now about it.
I'd imagine, Pat, excitement is starting to ramp up again now.
There was
a great atmosphere in the parish, because I spoke to you, last year in the lead-up to it and a couple of the players as well. But now that it's all coming around again, I suppose, and that sense of occasion starting to build.
Yeah, it is. And there's banners up and flags up and everything up, and people are talking about it and wanting to know what time and when it's on and, you know, how many is going to be let in and all this, you know, all that's going on at the minute. And sometimes you have enough to be dealing with, ourselves dealing with all that as well. But it's all part of the whole equation, because we're not having that many finals, so we have to try and get as much as we can out of it, you know.
You touched on it there, a small rural club like most clubs here in County Clare, and it's numbers is a big game, I know, as well. And even that extends to yourself, Pat, chairman and manager as well. I mean, this is quite a busy time for you to try and combine.
Oh, it's just hectic. Our house at the minute, so my wife does the world of work as well, and my daughter is the physio there, and my other daughter is in the selection committee. So the whole house is a heave activity, and it's all, you know, it's all the one word. Yeah. Every conversation is around football, do you know what I mean?
And that's I suppose what keeps the small rural parish going at times, isn't it?
Yeah, because sure, there's only a handful of families that are in the whole team, like, you know, the whole squad, and there's, you know, their cousins and their brothers, and, you know, there's a small group, like, with a tight group, you know.
And I suppose it's going to be a strange dynamic as well, in that win, lose or draw on, well, I know it'll have to be one or the other, I suppose, on Saturday, but we know now that the championship draws for 2021 are made, and they're only a couple of weeks away, so you'll probably have the shortest window, if things go right, in which to celebrate a title all going well.
Yeah, like, even last November we were told that we could be playing the final and playing the championship the following week, and as it transpires, we have championship now 3 weekends in a row, so it's just the most unusual thing you ever came across with.
Just finally, are you happy with how the lads are primed for it now? Are you ready to go?
We're ready for it now. At the minute, we're going to give a good account of ourselves, what we have available to play, and normally we're good in the finals, and hopefully that trend would keep going for us. But just you never know on the day with all the excitement and what's going on. But hopefully we're ready to give a good crack anyway. So that's the main thing, you know.
And just very finally, Pat, hopefully you're hoping, obviously, for football success in Ballyvaughan this weekend. But I know there's a man with very strong Ballyvaughan ties that's going to be making waves, in a literal sense, out in Tokyo at the Olympics, that you want to wish well.
Yeah, we'd want to wish him all the best in his canoeing event. And we just hope that it all goes well for him. He's a major difference to what we're at. But, like, at the same time, he's Ballyvaughan roots. He never forgot him. He keeps mentioning him, and he keeps mentioning the GA in Ballyvaughan. And, you know, it's just another, even I'd say if he was around, he could probably be in this panel. But that's just the way it goes. And we wish him all the best, and hopefully he does the parish proud.
Ballyvaughan manager Pat Costello there finishing up by wishing Liam Jegu all the best over in Tokyo. Of course, that opening ceremony taking place today, and we wish them all well. You heard from them in recent weeks. All those interviews available on the Clare FM Facebook page. That Junior A final underway tomorrow evening in Milltown at 7:15. Lots more to come this evening, though. Don't go anywhere.
We're coming into the last stretch of Clare FM's Sideline View Stakes, and DNG O'Sullivan Hurley are pushing hard now as they head towards the home stretch, and it's DNG O'Sullivan Hurley that are going to take the title of number one estate agents in County Clare, followed by Don Roman. DNG O'Sullivan Hurley, the Clare winners.
Now, you are welcome back to this week's Sideline View here on Clare FM. Time now for Greyhound Focus with Alan Troy.
Clare FM's Greyhound Update, in association with Greyhound Racing Ireland, because this runs deep.
Thank you, Derek. A very good evening to all our listeners, and I hope you're all enjoying the sunshine. We commence this week's Greyhound Focus from Galway Greyhound Stadium. On Friday night last, Pinnacle Rio proved what an excellent athlete he is once again when recording 30-38 in the semi-final of the Back to the Sports Ground A3 550 sweepstake. Owned by Michael Costello from Ballyvaughan, remarkably this was his 11th career success for this son of Rio Quattro and Fawn Samantha. Prior to helping the Clare Hurling team overcome Wexford, Ballyhale's Jack Brown was busy preparing Cascade King for his semi-final of the Back to the Sports Ground A2 sweepstake. This promising son of Droopy Sidney and Coolavanny Spice recorded a third career success out of 5 races, crossing the line in pole position in an impressive 28.95. The showpiece of Saturday night's racing was the second round heats of the Grangeview 10 at stud A4 sweepstake. Asking for a Friend is proven to be an ever-improving and consistent performer for Shane Flanagan, Kieran Brown and Fintan Quinn. This son of Rikers Island and Bower Judy made it a fourth career success in 29.13 in Heat 1 of this event. Now to Limerick Greyhound Stadium, and on Saturday night the final of the Michael Tobin A4 Memorial was the main attraction, which was kindly sponsored by friends of the late Michael Tobin. Honours came back to Ballyhale when popular owner Noel Gavin's Ballyhale Sydney broke smartly and led all the way to Landis Spiles in 29.04. The son of Droopy, Sydney and Sarista is trained by Innes Diamonds' Tom Flanagan, who is having a great winning streak with his kennel charges lately. This was further evident when Mythical Bruce recorded his first career success for Tom on Monday last in an A7 contest. This son of former English Derby winner Dorota's Wildcat and Flandy's Hawkeye won convincingly in 29-31. Mary Crotty from O'Brien's Bridge is a regular to the winner's enclosure at Limerick Greyhound Stadium, and she presented Inislaski Jasper, who duly obliged in 29-41. This was a first career success for this son of Droopy's Roddick and Colleen Pohl. Mary was victorious again at last night's meeting with Inislaski Urchin. This daughter of Romeo Recruit and Inislaski Swift recorded her 8th career success in 28-90. And Clare hurling legend Sean Stack from Six Mile Bridge must be delighted with the winning determination of his greyhound Loxley. This son of Loxley Blake and Rallying Way recorded his 8th career success in an eye-catching 28-79. Now to Dundalk Greyhound Stadium, where the elite of the nation's sprint distant runners are competing in the prestigious Bar One Irish Sprint Cup. The Butsy Bucko Syndicate, comprising of David Ryan, Owen Collins and Ryan Hodge from Shannon, were delighted when Butsy's Bingle recorded 21-36 to land his first round heat. This was a 13th career success for this son of Pinpoint Maxie and Kalikal Tammy. Now, not Clare related, but however an example of the excellent people that are associated with the Irish Greyhound racing scene. Father Morris Brick, a great friend of mine in Castle Island, was delighted following the brilliant success of Ballymac Luckily in the final of the 2700 to the winner of the Pestana at Stud and Droopy's Kennels Hospital Stakes at the Kingdom Greyhound Stadium last weekend. After the race, the winning owner, Father Morris Brick, announced in an interview that he was donating the winnings of the 2700 to the Castle Island Daycare Centre. What a wonderful gesture, Father, and many congratulations on your great win, and wishing you many great nights racing with Ballymac Luckily. Shinne an clár, don seachtain seo, is Mish Allen try, míle buíochas agus slánga fól.
Alan, thanks for that. We finish tonight with racing, where next week we'll see the 2021 Galway races held in Ballybrit. 1,000 spectators permitted daily at the track there. We'll be keeping you posted, of course, on all the Clare interests. But one of those hoping for success is Clarecastle's Gerard O'Loughlin, whose training career has really been going from strength to strength. He's been giving me his thoughts for the week ahead, but started with how things have been for the industry during the pandemic.
We aren't badly off now. You know, there wasn't a bad complaint. Racing kept going, and it was a credit to all involved, like in the racing industry, because they've done a marvellous job. I don't think there was any cases in the industry. Like, you know, it was brilliant. So, listen, we're nearly back on track anyway, and it's we're going to push through it, as the fella says.
Absolutely. Tell me, if somebody was asking, the highlight of your career so far, what would you pick?
The highlight of my career so far, I suppose Cedarwood Road winning a Lister race in an ace. Cedarwood Road, like, he won his maiden hurling Leopardstown. That was a great day. I think a few of the banner lads were up the same day. They were giving it a good old shout for him. So, I'd say Cedarwood Road when he won a Lister race in ace. And, hopefully now we'll get him out this season and get a clear run with him, you know.
And one of the big events, obviously, I'd say in everybody's calendar is that Galway Races Festival. We heard last week 1,000 punters, I think, through the gates each day. Not what they're expecting, but it's still 1,000 people that will get in. As you said, that buzz of a main stand on a big occasion is probably very hard to replicate, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Listen, the race course was like a graveyard, you know. It was it was very, very quiet, but there was prize money coming back in and the industry was moving, you know, which was important. But it was fairly quiet now over the last 18 months.
It'll be different in Galway. Have you many interests in it?
I have three going to Galway, please God. Nervous week now coming up, trying to keep them together. We have Michuka and Ben Dundee in the plate, and little horse, Watch Your Status. if he, hopefully he'd get into the Galway Blazers, or he'd have maybe he could go for the 3 mile hurdle maybe on the Saturday as well. So three very nice horses, like they're you know rated up in 140s and watch your status at 123 horse. So like they're well entitled to go there, and they'll go there with live chances hopefully. So it'd be just amazing to have a horse to win a race in Galway, you know. So please God, they'll run well.
And those, the first two horses you mentioned there, Machuca and Bin Dundee, they've had a nice little prep for this. They feature prominently recently, haven't they?
Yeah, well, Machuca hasn't. He won in March. He won a nice handicap in Leopardstown in March for us. And like he, in fairness to the horse, he's never. Since I've had him, I think he's ran about six times for us, and he's. I don't think he's ever been out of the money. He won first time out for me. He's very talented. He's only a handy little horse. I just see the weights there now. He's 10-10 on his back in the plate, and Bin Dundee is 10-7. So I wouldn't be worried that Machuca hasn't had a run recently. He won first time out for me, so that wouldn't bother me. And Bin Dundee he had actually gone into training with Willie Mullins last year. From Gordon Elliott's, and was the plate was the target for him last year, and he unfortunately didn't make it. So Chris just asked me to would I be interested in taking him, and he's had two or three lovely runs over hurdles for us, just getting his confidence back in that. So he's in great form now. Delighted with the two of them.
Outside of your own live chances, I think that you're kind of hinting at there, is there anything that stands out for you if the people in listening to this interview were going to put a fiver somewhere?
You'd love Norman Lee's horse to, you know, in the Galway Hurdle, sole pretender, like, Jesus, wouldn't be a great story. His dad trained the winner before of a Galway Hurdle, Lisabella, I think was the name of the filly. That'd be unreal. Probably his rate is probably high enough going into it. There's a horse that Arthur Moore trains that for Chris Jones called Seed the Core that'll go for the plate. He's had a little prep run, and that's where I put my favourite way in.
Now that is Clarecastle's Garrod O'Loughlin there, looking ahead to the 2021 Galway Racing Festival, and you can hear a full extended version of that interview with Garrod on our website clare.fm later this evening, where he talks about how he got started in the industry, and of course coming from that famous hurling family down in Clarecastle. So do check that out on clare.fm later this evening. I think around 8 o'clock you can get a hold of that. Speaking of getting a hold, somebody will be getting a hold of the Clare Cup title this evening. 6 Mile Bridge, Cratlow and Feakle all in contention. The Bridge play Cratlow down in Cratlow, Feakle go to Kilmaley, and there's a whole host of results that could turn out the outcome either way, but we'll keep you posted on that across our social media channels and indeed as well on tomorrow's news. But it's where we have to leave you for this evening's show. The West Wind with Owen O'Neill is up next with the best of Irish traditional music and song until 9. Do enjoy the rest of your weekend.